Oh, no. It just works off a battery or off the plug, you know. But you say you've got to the front door, and what happened?
I said I brought an Englishwoman, and he started cursing. And I never heard such cursing. He knew the whole of Irish history, and he started from the very beginning. And he told her about this, and there was rather a high step to this story, you see. And she was equal to the occasion, because there was a... She was facing this door outside, and there was a table a bit further away than that. And she managed to get past him into the house, hurled herself onto the table with her head down, you see. And he had to run out. She stayed there, immovable, you see. And it was an extraordinary scene, because there was nothing he didn't tell her. But...
It had an effect on her, did it?
Oh, it must have. She was very, very much too close to Lloyd George from the point of view of Lloyd George's son.
Mm.
Isn't that right?
Mm. That's right. Yes.
I didn't know that when I had her. Maybe she told him about Black Willie, it would be
it
great.
It wouldn't do any harm. So you really think these women, these English sympathisers, really did help, did they?
Oh, I'm certain of that. Mrs. Despard, Mrs. Charlotte Despard, she had been a candidate in the election in London, I think.
In 1918?
Yeah. She was defeated there. But she said, there's too much peace and not enough freedom in them, but they're grand.
Did you join the League yourself, the Women's League for Peace and Freedom?
No.
Because it was quite...
I don't remember being invited to the subject coming up at all.
Yes, yes, yes. No, it's interesting. Mary Stocks was another person who was very sympathetic to...
Mary?
Mary Stocks, you know, she became Lady Stocks in England.
I think that rings a bell.
Mm, yes.
And I tell you what, who was the fascist in England?
What, Mosley, you mean?
There was somebody connected with Mosley came over too.
Oh, no, I don't know who that would be. I don't know. But it says here, Effington, it says she's defended the communists, outspoken defence of the communists in Dublin in the 1930s, when they were being attacked by clerical and fascist blue shirt inspired mobs.
Yeah.
And when their offices, Connolly House, were being attacked, she was, along with another grand old fighter, Mrs. Connery, assailed by a section of the mob. The police on that occasion did not busy themselves to prevent the scandalous scene of an angry mob attacking two women. And again it says in 1936, when the fascist supported generals of Spain launched war on the Spanish Republic, Mrs. Skeffington immediately revealed on which side she stood by correspondence to the papers at public meetings and to the president of the Irish Friends of the Spanish Republic. She put the case for Republican Spain. And along with Father O'Flanagan and many others, she was an untiring worker in the organisation of support for Republican Spain and the International Brigade, and so on. In a way, that's the answer, isn't it, I suppose, that the women may have been very important in securing independence, but the governments that were in control after independence broke with the people who'd made the revolution.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, that's quite true. Mm. That's true.
Mm. So that may be part of the explanation as to why it didn't you know, really grow.
Mrs. Town Clark was Lord Mayor of Dublin, I think, a couple of times.
Mm.
I don't know if that is really, I think, the gist of what was in my head to tell you. Connolly's Co-op is a very good story. After the rising, there had been the second in command of the British side. He was a local sympathiser with the British, you see. Well-known doctor. What on earth was his name? He lived in Monkstown. And he, when it came to the 25th anniversary, he came forward and said that after the rising was over, he looked around for what he could bring home to his wife, you see, in the, I suppose what he thought, the natural development, that you did a bit of looting, you see. And he had seen these sewing machines in Liberty Hall, in Connolly's co-op. So he decided that he would bring a sewing machine home to his wife, and he got somebody to take that away, to steal it, if you like, and to bring it up to the Irish Automobile Club, and from there home, you see. And then when the celebration came up, he announced that he was presenting this to the National Museum, and ministers and people turned out to receive it from him, and there were speeches and praise and all the rest, you see. And I was immensely tickled with that, you see. What happened, Helena Maloney was in jail. She was the manager of Connolly's paper. He put her there because she had no property, and the government or anyone could take fine. It didn't matter if they were fined, because she couldn't pay. And no question of paying. And she had been, she had an officer rank in the Citizen Army in 1916. And she was in prison until about the following Christmas. And then she was released. And she'd been in prison in England. There's a woman's prison there.
Yeah, yes, there is. Yes, Holloway.
That's right. And she said she'd had so many insults about stabbing them in the back and things like that, that she came home determined to do it all again. And she came into the co-op was where the printing machine was that printed the proclamation. And the place was undisturbed. The men, trade unionists, weren't too quick about going back into that building afterwards. But she gathered up some of the women, and the printing at that time was done with little letters, you know, individual
yes.
letters.
Yes.
And they were scattered everywhere. And it was a small room, fortunately. They gathered up all the letters, all the thing, and they got a decent Englishman who'd been a friend of Connolly. What was his name? You probably want that.
I don't know.
You get that in the National Library.
Yes.
And to print the proclamation in duplicate. Mm. And he did this. And for the first anniversary of Easter week, they posted up this proclamation
really?
On all the posts that had been held in Easter week. And they got a steeplejack from Scotland. He came from Scotland. He was a dairy man. And he got up on the ruins of the post office and he put up a flag. And people were always went, the masses were all in the morning and the crowd in O'Connell Street was always about 12 o'clock, you see. So this was put on for them. And they had this first commemoration of Easter week. Now, a member of the staff of the National University, what was his name? He published a documentary pamphlet on this because the second copies are more valuable than the first ones, you see. And you see, if you looked at that, you'd find that he attributed that to the women of the Citizen Army.
Oh, I see. That's yeah. Well, there really a lot of room for women in that movement. I mean, were you accepted completely as a woman?
Well, we had our own organisation of Cumann na Mban.
And how do you spell that, actually? Being English, I don't
know. C-U-M-A-N-N, one word. N-A, another word. A small M, capital B-A-N, that's the third word. Cumann na Mban. And we were mostly occupied on the war, you know.
On the Civil War, you mean? Or
I know, on the War of Independence.
I see, yes, yes.
Right through on there.
What was your role? Was it a supporting role to the men, or were you equal in your function, really?
We kept independent in our function. I don't think there was much equality where Michael Collins and people were concerned, you know. But we were independent, and we had to be approached through our own officers and things like that. Unless somebody was assigned to a particular job with them, and there were very good tributes to us afterwards. Somebody coming?
No, it's just a bee.
Oh, extraordinary.
But what sort of things did you do? Were you actually fighting, or...?
Well, it depends on... no, you weren't actually fighting. They are now in Belfast, but not... We weren't actually fighting. Con Markovic would. I never fired a shot at anyone. I don't think I had the guts, but...
So what was the organisation doing, really?
Oh, dispatches. And looking after the flying columns, keeping them in boots and socks and, you know, looking after their... knowing where they were and keeping up their supplies and finding places for them. There was a perpetual job of finding safe houses for people. That went on all the time.
Because a lot of that sort of thing was being done by the women in the suffragette movement earlier, wasn't it? I mean, certainly finding safe houses was a very important thing.
I'm sure it was, yeah.
I mean, there may be quite a lot of continuity between the two. I don't know, really. I mean...
There's certainly continuity between the suffrage movement and... we were concerned in one thing. I think it was during the conscription crisis.
That
there was a protest of women, and the slogan was, "Women won't scab." And you see, and Kuhneman had control of the central place where that was, signing was done in the, I think in the city hall. But so that's the only, I think that's the only thing I can say that we were involved with other organizations or anyone who came along.
But you insisted on having your own distinct organization.
Oh, yeah.
Why was that, actually? I mean, just because you wanted women to have a clear function? Why didn't you just join in with the men?
I think there was probably the men wanted it that way, and I wasn't in at the beginning.
Mm.
I don't know why.
Mm.
I don't know. There are many more... Are you coming back here again?
No, it's my only visit, unfortunate woman. Wasn't she? Did you see much of her? I mean...
Yes, I was often in her house. Her door was broken in by the military at the time of her husband's murder. And still, she wouldn't let it be another door be put in, or...
That's right, she had a brass plate.
She put the brass plate is there still, I think.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yes. Was she a beautiful woman? I mean, a nice-looking woman, do you think, or...?
I wouldn't think she was.
Hmm. But she was a...
It's extraordinary, 40 years afterwards, who would one know again that was a friend at that time?
Mm.
I don't know how many of these people I would know if I passed them in the street. Maybe I would know them all. Maybe not, I couldn't tell you.
But she was a good speaker, wasn't she? A very powerful speaker.
I can't remember that I ever heard her speak.
Mm. She could deal with interruptions and you know, that sort of thing.
I think she was writing a weekly article most of the time for the Irish World in America. You get more of
it. She did a lot of journalism.
Yeah, and I was in the States in 1924 on a mission. And I remember I'd been through the mill here, and I got a bit shook with I got a bit overworked, you know. And the women's organization there was with them one time. They were so kind, they made me start crying unexpectedly. And they must say they were awfully nice, they were wonderful people.
They set you up again?
Yeah, yeah. And we had people like Jane Addams. I could get a list of American people who were helping. There would be some.
Because that's another side of it, isn't it? I mean, you've got a lot of American women involved,
yes,
as well as English women.
And you still have the ancient order of Hibernians in America. It's still Irish Republican, although they're anything, they're the opposite. They would be, always were the opposite here. And there was with Mrs. McWhorter and Mrs. She was only second in command. Mrs. Oh. The two of them used to come every year. It was the time when American women were enormously fat. And I used to see them on the steps of the hotel in Hackett Street where they stayed. And they used to wonder whether they could pass one another on the steps.
But there was quite a connection between the Irish women then fighting for independence and American feminists.
Yeah.
Really, and you could go over there and get support from them.
I could get a book of that time, a publication of that time, which would probably show quite a lot of women. Mm. Would the American women mean anything to you?
No, they wouldn't really, but I mean, it's interesting that you say that was important. That's the important thing.
Yes,
really.
We had, was it 5 or 7 TDs at the time of the treaty? Mm. And they all voted against it, and they were
Tell me what a TD is.
A member of the parliament.
Ah, I see.
A member of the Dáil.
Yes, I see. Yes. I must obviously...